Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. Hard-edged, hard-nosed, hard to beat.
Where are you coming from in this one?
Your 100% essential download.
Jim White and Simon Jordan.
You let this get out of control.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. I'm Jim White, and today myself, Simon and Graeme Souness discuss Nottingham Forest. Have they alleged bias and corruption in the PGMOL following defeat to Everton? Also, it was a roller coaster at Wembley on Sunday in the FA Cup as Manchester United threw away a 3-goal lead to scrape past Coventry City on penalties. Does this sum up United under Erik ten Hag? And Pep Guardiola is still unhappy with the fixture schedule despite reaching another cup final. Simon thinks he should button it, but does Pep have a point? This is Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Bags of controversy and Beto of Everton stretched off at the end. Both goals were similar. Shots left-footed from outside the penalty area. The first from Idrissa Gueye, less convincing than Dwight McNeil's beauty. It finished then here, Everton 2, Nottingham Forest 0.
Now, of course, we know that Everton won the game, but as I said in the introduction this morning, with a push of a button of Nottingham Forest seemingly alleged bias and corruption within the PGMOL. What happened in this game that so annoys Forest? Well, Forest felt they had 3 penalty claims centred on incidents involving Everton's Ashley Young, and not one penalty kick was given. At the end of the match, Forest wrote on social media, 3 extremely poor decisions, 3 penalties not given, which we simply cannot accept. So we warned the PGMOL that the VAR is a Luton fan before the game, but they didn't change him. Our patience has been tested multiple times. Nottingham Forest will now consider its options. We've got a bit more information on this, and I'll bring you that in a second. But this was Nuno, Forest manager, post-match.
I was aware of that complaint. It's a formal complaint. Every club is entitled to do it if they feel that they are not comfortable. The PGMO will decide the other way. If Stuart Artwell is not a fan or Luton, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter in the end of the day. That doesn't matter. He's there to do his job. In starting with Anthony Taylor today, he did a bad job. And VAR did a bad job because the decisions are bad. I'm telling you, after we lose a game, everybody will say, okay, look at the manager. Look, he's getting excuses. No, it's not an excuse. It's the reality.
So let's just re-examine just part of that Forest statement again. We warned the PGMOL, this was before the match, that the VAR is a Luton fan, but they didn't change him. So this morning on this show, it's our understanding that before Everton against Forest, Mark Clattenburg, of course, the referee official who works now for Nottingham Forest, on behalf of Forest, was in touch with the PGMOL and Howard Webb regarding Atwell being on VAR duty. There was a discussion around Stuart Atwell being a Luton fan. And remember, this is pre-match. But, and this is vitally important, Clattenburg and Forest did not ask for Atwell to be removed from the fixture, and they had no issue at the time. Simon, what do you make of that? That was all pre-match. No issue at the time. The game's played.
Yeah.
And then Forest come out with their statement and all their grievances.
Well, I think the most sensible voice that I've heard is probably Nuno Espirito Santo and his observations about the
the competency of the performance rather than the integrity of the individual's concerns. I think Mark Clattenburg is a mixer. I think he's creating, rather than managing the situation and doing things in a certain way, I think he's perhaps behaving in a way that's not becoming of the position that he should be in. But that's just a personal view on the fact that I don't think he's adding any value to the equation and maybe creating opportunities for himself. If I'm Stuart Atwell, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking to myself, in any other walk of life, I'd be able to sue somebody for these observations because it's defamation of character. It's questioning someone's integrity, their morality, the way in which they operate. And I think football needs to be very careful. I mean, I note Peter Walton's piece in the Times about the fact that they need to call a general meeting about the standards and conduct. Don't be so bloody stupid. It's Nottingham Forest that need to be dealt with, not every other football club in the Premier League. So don't be so bloody ridiculous. They need to be put in their place. I understand their frustrations. Without emotion, football is nothing. So you have these outbursts, you have these rants. We have them on air. Football people will have them on after a game because it goes with the territory. But Nottingham Forest, unfortunately, irrespective of whether they have validity and the competency of the decisions, have stepped over a line, and metaphorically they need to be smacked.
And you think Atwell, should he wish to pursue it, has got a legal case against Forest?
I think it would be very difficult in any other walk of life to suggest that's not defamation. You're questioning someone's integrity. And when you do that, certainly in a professional setting, you are bringing into play the issues that I've just alluded to. And that, in any other walk of life, would be something that people would consider suing under. And football, and the framework of football seems to allow this.
Yeah.
It seems to allow people to say whatever they want to say, and there's no consequence for it. And eventually, not that I'm advocating for this, because the last thing I want is any more legal ramifications in football, but the reality of it is you can't just say stuff like this. You cannot question the integrity or the morality of someone's intentions. You can question their competency. That's fair enough. Bad decision. Nuno Espirito Santo said it. He said it's nothing to do with the fact who he may or may not support. It's to do with a bad decision-making process.
Forrest Diamond said they'll consider their options. What are they?
None. Shut up. None. You had your owner on the side of the pitch the other day. Certain people are getting a bit carried away. And I would have thought that it would have been more sensible for Clattenburg to be managing this better rather than appearing to stoke it up. And one can question his motivations for that. I don't know.
What do you think, Graham, is going to come Forest way, and what do you think of the fact that
their options are, Jim, to go and get the very best lawyer they can find? Because I think the authorities will go after them. Can't say that. Our game is not corrupt, and to suggest that is totally wrong. I think the manager has handled himself brilliantly in this. I mean, I've been a manager, and I know frustrating it can be if you feel you're on the wrong end of decisions. I mean, the three decisions are all penalties.
You referee. Think they were? Yeah.
And I mean, it's not just a referee. The people in the operating the VAR have got it wrong as well, and that's alarming. That is alarming. And I think, forget opinions on this, what we think. Ashley Young, did you see his interview afterwards? It tells you everything you need to know about those three penalty calls.
It was interesting,
were three penalties.
Danny Murphy's analysis of it last night on Match of the Day too, when he was talking about the standing foot being planted, meant that the first was not a penalty because ultimately he threw himself to the ground. The second one is a debatable one because of the handball rule and the interpretations of it. But the third one he felt was absolutely stonewall because the referee made a decision, and the wrong decision. The referee indicated to the cameras that the player, Ashley Young, had got the ball. And so he needed to be corrected because VAR could have intervened and said, no, you've got it wrong. They didn't get the ball. So that then puts everything, you have to go to the monitor. So that's where Danny had gone with it.
He thinks the third one was.
And I think Phil Jagielka was in the same sort of space, judging by what they were saying last night.
Who did he play for again?
Well, now you're alleging something there.
You see, there's a message coming in. Please remind Forrest this morning they're only in the Premier League because of two obvious penalties that weren't given against them in the playoff final. No. There's Dean, who I think is a Forrest fan. I'm embarrassed as a former Forrest fan. He says he's a former Forrest fan. I'm disgusted. I think he's talking about his own club and the actions they've taken. The thing is, Simon, Clattenburg in the Mail talks about what happened. And he says, you'll have seen the statement released by the club, how the PGMOL were contacted to warn that it wasn't appropriate for a Luton fan such as Atwell to play such a pivotal role in a massive match. I wouldn't have risked this situation if I were the head of the referees, and all of this could have been avoided had the PGMOL simply made smarter appointments. But it's our information that Clattenburg and Forrest didn't ask for Atwell to be removed from the fixture, and they had no issue at the time. That was their time to put out their statement pre-match and not post.
It'll be interesting to see what their response is to that, because our information, I would imagine, has been gotten from one side of the argument and theirs is from another. So I would suggest that they'll be interesting to see. But that's why I make the point about where Clattenburg is. And I'm not interested in focusing on Clattenburg. He has his own agendas to serve out and his own battles with perhaps certain individuals within the confines of the
being at Forest.
And that's my point, Gray. The reality of it is adding value and creating opportunity, because I would have felt that the management of Nottingham Forest's reaction and also their complex they've built over the season about unfair decisions alongside Wolverhampton Wanderers would be better served by him being pragmatic, not stirring the fires, not inciting the flames. And if our information has solidity to it, and there's no reason to think it hasn't, then that compromises completely Nottingham Forest's position, doesn't it? Beyond already a compromised position.
What is Mark Clattenburg's role at Forest?
Referee analyst.
Right. So he makes a call to the PGMOL.
Yeah.
Howard Webb, would he have spoken to him?
Presumably it would be Howard Webb, yes.
So the PGMOL are saying that pre-match, he didn't make any demands, he didn't ask for anything. What was the point of his conversation?
Exactly.
I'll tell you what it was. It was planted a seed. We were getting treated badly. He was hoping someone, whoever he spoke to, whether it's Howard Webb or anyone, whatever story he would relate to the referee on the day or the VAR at the day, he was looking to plant a seed. Mark Clattenburg was there. He was trying to plant a seed.
Well, with a push of a button, when they put out their statement, Nottingham Forest will now consider its options. What have they done with the push of that button? Have Nottingham Forest seemingly alleged bias and corruption within the PGMOL? And as Simon has suggested, has Atwell, said to be a Luton fan, got a legal case himself? Let us know what you think. I want to hear from Forest fans on this as well.
Welcome to the Coliseum of Confrontation. Outspoken with White and Jordan.
We are getting many, many, many calls about this, Graham, this situation regarding Nottingham Forest making a complaint post-match at Goodison when they spoke of three extremely poor decisions, three penalties not given. We can't accept it. We warned the PGMOL that VAR is a Luton fan before the game. They didn't change him. Our patience has been tested. Multiple times, Nottingham Forest will now consider its options. Our information is that their referee analyst at Forest, Mark Clattenburg, and Forest did not ask for Atwell to be removed from the fixture before the match, and it was intimated that they had no issue at the time. So what is this all about? Many messages coming in, 8, 10, 89. There's one. Why should a Luton fan be in charge of VAR for their relegation rivals match? PGMOL should have removed him prior to the match, and this argument would never have happened. On-pitch referees are removed for the same reason. I mean, this individual, whoever it is sending this message, Graham, has obviously got an image in his mind of Atwell wandering around the VAR truck with a Luton scarf on, maybe a Luton hat as well. It's simply... doesn't happen. We have to trust our officials, don't we? We have to trust that the officials are unbiased, Graham.
I think they're unbiased. I think I've worked at big football clubs and not so big football clubs, and they do lean towards the big clubs. I mean, I'm thinking when I played at Liverpool, you're a brave referee if you give a penalty at the cop end against us. So I think they do. I think they're a wee bit fearful at times. I think right now the crop we have right now as referees are just not very good.
But are any of them biased?
No, none of them. I don't believe any of them are biased, but I just think some of them are just not very good. And I have to say that some do lean heavily sometimes towards the bigger football clubs.
Okay. Simon, what do you think, just before we take calls, what do you think of this Forest statement? Nottingham Forest will now consider its options, its final line. Where's it going to go with that?
I don't see that they have anywhere to go. I mean, they've made their observations. They seem to be misrepresenting their position, but that will come out in the fullness of time. I don't think they have anywhere to go. I don't think they have. I think it's just background noise. I think they have lots of bark and no bite there. And I think it's poor. It's one thing managers being emotive after a game. When I wrote a column last week about social media. And the expectations of society and the way that people behave utilising. And here we've got a football club behaving in a certain way. You air your frustration, by all means. If you need to tear a strip off the PGMOL, if you want to bring the Premier League into the equation, but you don't do it through social media.
Mm.
You just don't. And you can't make these kind of accusations. I mean, you saw the owner the other day, who seems to be under the impression that he can do and say as he wants, on the side of the pitch. because he wasn't comfortable with something. We've seen owners on pitches in recent times in that part of the world where he harks from. Think they can do what they want. And it needs to be... Richard Masters needs to get hold of this a little bit because people are getting a little bit carried away with themselves.
But just for the record, the Forest tweet following the match at Goodison has now been viewed more than 35 million times. So it's out there and people are looking at it. But what should happen next? John is a Nottingham Forest fan. John, you're a first caller. What's your take on all of this?
Yeah, hi, guys. Thanks for having me on, by the way, Jim, as always.
Good morning.
Could I put just four pieces of information together and why I believe that I think Forest, it was badly worded, let's be honest. However, a few of the things they've said are purely factual, but they've intimated. That's the problem, isn't it? So just a couple of things I want to put together, guys, and to think about this, where we've come to this point. So, one, Forrest did actually consider making a complaint to PGML about Stuart Howell's performance in our 3-2 defeat against Manchester United, contentious red card and penalties. That's one. Two, Mike Dean, just to touch on Graham's point, Mike Dean actually came out and admitted that he failed to change a VAR decision in order to save his mate and fellow official Anthony Taylor from receiving any more grief. That was a comment he made. He admitted it because they're under pressure. So that's two things. So referees aren't all perfect, but they're human beings, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Three, Michael Oliver clearly stated that in his time as referee, he would take himself out of the situation of refereeing any matches that were involved his club or the clubs officiated by that. Now, second, the last piece I want to add, guys, thanks for bearing with me here. If you look at the regulations of registration and control of referees in the FA, it clearly states conflict of interest, section 10. A referee shall at all times be impartial. Where a referee, and this is key, where a referee believes that there is a material interest of conflict with their duties and obligations, that referee shall decline to act or officiate and take themselves out of the match. Now, what I'm saying with that is, given all those points I've made earlier, Stuart Atwell could have made the decision to take himself out of the firing line, potentially. I'm not saying...
Why should he, John?
Because there's a possibility that what happened in the match could then be seen as conflict of interest. And let's be honest, Graham's even said it, there were three Stonewall penalties in one game. Now, even by a lot of standards of refereeing, that is very, very bizarre.
But, John, let me put this to you. And you've spoken well, but let me put this to you. The information we have, and you know this information that we have, is that Clattenburg, on behalf of Forrest, was in touch with Howard Webb before the game regarding Atwell. There was a discussion around Atwell being a Luton fan. Yes. But Clattenburg and Forrest didn't ask for Atwell to be removed from the fixture. No. And they had no issue at the time. So surely that was the time, if Forrest really felt aggrieved, to drop their statement pre-match as opposed to post.
I get that, and it's a good point, but this is my point, right? Classically, this is why I mentioned my fourth point about a conflict of interest, that the referee in question makes the decision. Is, I'm purely guessing, did Forrest raise that situation in order to bring it to a conversation and leave it out there? And the fact that Stuart might say, yeah, actually, bearing in mind that, you know, it could be perceived as this, I'll happily stand aside because I don't want anybody accusing me of being impartial. I'm just guessing, but I'm wondering if that's why that was thrown in the mix there, Jim.
At your club, John, do you accept that it's a valid position for Clattenburg to have a referee analyst?
Oh, God, yeah. Look, it's like anything, isn't it? He's not employed. He's a paid consultant analyst. I mean, there's paid consultants in every walk of life, isn't there? It's actually quite a common thing over in Europe, by the way, this is. So do I agree with it? Not a problem either way. Do you think that the PGMOL are giving us worse decisions because Clattenburg's involved? I'd hope not, and I doubt it. Is Mark Clattenburg advising the club in our best interests? Who knows? Hopefully. Or is he stirring up a hornet's nest?
John, a final point from me to you before I go, and thanks for your time. If the result at Goodison had been Everton 0, Forest 1, would we have heard from Forrest post-match?
That's just a great question, isn't it? I mean, let's face it, you know, you lose matches, you feel a lot worse about it. I think we'd have lost... Look, we lost the game because we deserved to lose. We couldn't finish. But I've got to say, this feels like it's the straw that broke the camel's back. It's a culmination of week after week, poor decisions, penalties missed, free kicks being incorrectly given, you know, ball being given to the wrong team in the 90th minute, whatever it may be. Forest will get relegated, I think, if they do go down, because they don't take their chances and they don't defend well enough, personally.
However,
let's be honest, if you look back over a season and you look at some of the real key decisions, we may have got a couple of points extra that may make the difference between keeping us up.
John, listen, thanks for your call. We appreciate your time and we appreciate the call.
Welcome to the Coliseum of Confrontation. Outspoken with White and Jordan.
You get away with absolutely nothing on this show. You say something, it's out there, somebody comes back. Graeme Souness alongside Simon and myself. I think Joe Cole said he was commending you for your work you put in over in Qatar in the gym. Sir Rod Stewart's just sent me a picture of his gym, which looks pretty damned amazing, I have to say, and says, show Graeme the picture of my gym. Are you impressed by it?
Very much so, but that equipment looks like it's unused. Has it ever been used?
He probably can't reach some of the equipment.
And I don't like the strips hanging from the ceiling.
Yes, the strips and the flags hanging from the ceiling. We'll say no more. Manchester United fans, you knew it was coming and it's coming now. Bit of a roller coaster for you at Wembley in your FA Cup semi-final against Championship Coventry City. 3-0 up, 3-3. An extra time goal ruled out by VAR, and it was a goal for Coventry that was ruled out, and then a penalty shootout which Manchester United won. Are they ever going to become more than just a team of moments? Ten Hag was asked whether or not, in the eyes of some, this win was actually somewhat embarrassing.
No, I don't. I can't see that word, because in the end of the day, it's about the achievement. Yeah, I see the mistakes we make. We can't look away from it. But it's not an embarrassment. It's, as I say, it's a huge achievement. So even a big team from United, from a decade ago, they only achieved the final three times. We now two times in 2 years. So that's a good performance. And that, with all the setbacks we have in this season, we will take energy from this. And we go in the last weeks, and we have to build the confidence to take advantage from this as well.
I mean, the eyes of some, Graeme, you wouldn't know they'd reached a cup final by his demeanour there. But he's right, we'll take energy for it. Embarrassing to who? Who's embarrassed by it?
They were expected to win the first half. They were fabulous. They got away with one. I mean, I when they scored the third goal, I flipped over and started to watch Liverpool and Fulham. And then I got a text from Steve Perriman, old Spurs player. Used to play the same youth team as him.
Yeah.
And he says, are you watching this? They've collapsed. And I went, I didn't know what he was referring to. So I've gone to Man United, and then it was 3-3. And then the extra time that I saw, so I saw the first half, not the second half, an extra time, they were more likely Coventry. They were keeping the ball better. It was a bit of a basketball match, but they were keeping the ball better. Had some very good chances to have the goal that was disallowed right at the end. They got away with one yesterday.
Yeah.
But there's no embarrassment in getting to a cup final. You can never play in enough cup finals at Wembley.
I think Graham's spot on with that, Simon.
Oh, yeah, he's
embarrassed by it?
Well, look, I mean, I think
in a cup final,
that would be a narrative that was put to him, because if he had the stupidity to cop to it, then that would be the headline that Ten Hag suggests that his players are embarrassment. So he can't come anywhere near that. Their performance at times, as Coventry clawed themselves back into that game, was not befitting of Manchester United and their players. You've got to give a lot of credit to Coventry.
I think you have to be befitting of Man United.
That's what I said.
That's not the first time those players have played like that.
No, fair enough, but notwithstanding, not befitting of Manchester United. They represent Man United.
In the eyes of who? Not befitting to Manchester United.
In the eyes of the standards that you would expect Man United to want to set. You know, you're 3-0 up in a cup final, a cup semi-final against Championship opposition that deserve to be there, that have you know, are ultimately getting blown away for a period of time, that have clawed themselves back in. But the manner in which United were so susceptible to an outcome which was about mental strength, about the resilience and adversity and all the characteristics that you'd like to expect from a Manchester United-represented scenario were not evidence, even to the point where they've stayed in the FA Cup by the width of a toenail. That's what's kept them in the FA Cup. I knew as soon as Coventry's call was disallowed that United would get through just simply because of the law of averages, and it's a tragedy that certain players
you knew before penalties. The penalty shootout
yeah
began.
Not because of yeah because you could just see
what,
the way
you
it was
missed
going
it Meg.
No, because you could just see that you think to yourself the biggest headline that you're going to get written and the and we'd have dined out on it this morning. Can you imagine if Coventry's goal had stood? What would be said this morning?
Yeah.
So I'm, of course, looking at it from that point of view, thinking, this is fun and games.
Victor's the victor.
And you think this narrative is going to be rewritten because they'll beat them on penalties, which they duly did. But there's nothing about that performance besides a period of time in the first half where United can take much from it and say, wonderful. Yes, they've gone on a cup run. They've beaten Wigan. They've beaten Newport. They've beaten Nottingham Forest. And the result that stands
out. Three cup finals in 2 years.
Fine, absolutely. And they've won the League Cup, right? And if they play anything vaguely resembling like that against Manchester City, they're going to get smashed into the next life. I suspect they'll be better because the outcome, the event itself will take hold of itself. But there's nothing about Man United and Ten Hag that lends me to the conclusion that they're going to be sitting with the same manager after the season's finished.
I tell you, it's scary. I mean, it goes to extra time, 90 minutes extra time. If that is, they're at the bare bones. When you look at, if that is their squad of first team players, as I'm talking, I'm trying to think of who's missing through injury. But, you know, they're the kids coming, the kids that they think are going to be players one day. I mean, the pretty bare bones. When you're talking about Man United, who spent over £1 billion in the last decade, that's, they don't look, it's a big job, whoever gets that job, if they are going to change, and an enormous job for the recruitment team, an enormous job for the new owner. He must now know he's got an enormous job on his hands.
Yeah, I mean,
to get Man United back to being one of the eminent teams in our league, in Europe, not just our league.
I just think the word embarrass, it drives me nuts in football. Do you feel embarrassed? But they're in a cup final. Do you think any Manchester United fan travelling down to London for cup final day shouldn't really be here? I'm still embarrassed by what happened against Coventry. Do me a favour.
Jim, you're in the media. You know how it works. It's a word that was mentioned and then people pick up on it and it's a tag there, it's going to stay. There's no embarrassment in getting to a cup final.
Exactly, you just said it.
You can play fabulously well in all the rounds and get to a cup final and play miserable any day and lose it. There's no embarrassment in being there. What they've got to do now is win it. They've got to win it. And
I think there was
a monster job on their hands.
What would that do for him, Simon, if Ten Hag and United
doesn't keep his job.
It.
Doesn't keep his job.
He doesn't keep his job if they win the FA Cup. I think it's a Louis van Gaal moment.
I think their mind was made up very quickly after Jim Radcliffe got the club. Yeah, I don't think it's about the season. I think it's the season and beyond, and just the overall quality of player they have there. And he has spent some money, the manager. Overall quality of the player, the noises coming out from there. I mean, you're looking at Rashford. You know, Rashford looks a shadow of the boy he was last year. That comes down to the manager. The manager's job is to get the best of the group of players he's working with. And right now, you would say that's not the case at Man United. And that's the day after they qualify for a cup final.
So you're even if they win the FA Cup,
I think it's
going
to be very. I'm not calling for him to be sacked, but I think they made their mind up.
A month ago. What have we seen? What are we really seeing? Besides, he's been there 2 years and I went very early on my opinion of him in terms of my belief that he had the character and the strength of character to be able to change the direction of travel in the culture of Manchester United, because too many of these players playing for Man United don't realise the responsibility of playing for Man United and they've got it far too easy. And Rashford's one of them. And I've maintained for some time that he needs to be moved on because I think he's run his race. And people can have their differing views on that. But 2 years after the event, what do you tell me that you see from Manchester United when you saw them get smashed to pieces against Brentford at the beginning of the season when he was putting a 2-foot-tall centre-half against Ivan Toney and they got beaten to pieces against what you saw yesterday against Coventry where they got lucky to get into an FA Cup final? What do you tell me over 2 years that has really told us that Man United are on the direction that's going to give you confidence for the next 2 years?
Can I throw one at you? You know, I like to think I'm a football person.
Yes.
Wakehorst. Wakehorst, is that how you say his name?
Because a centre forward that was at Burnley.
He was using him as a number 10. Describe a number 10 to me.
Well, you know what it is. I'll describe
what I think a number 10
is. We need you to tell us.
Someone who can get on half turn, someone who takes the ball. Silva or the
Manson.
Yeah, that type of player. Yeah. Someone who's cute and clever with their passing and chips in with a goal.
Yeah. Some of what Harry Kane
has so got it all wrong, Ten Hag.
Well, I thought that at the time. I don't know why I've mentioned that today. When I looked at him playing as a number 10, I'm thinking,
well,
at best, he's a big lump of a centre-forward to be a nuisance to centre-half who doesn't score goals.
Mm.
I just couldn't see him playing off the front, being clever with the ball.
There's a message coming in. Yeah, Jim, you've got to admit it. That Manchester United performance was embarrassing. You can't be 3-0 up with 20 minutes to go. Extra time, you get there in the end. This is Manchester United. Yes, I get that. So are some Manchester United fans too embarrassed to come to Wembley when it gets to cup final day?
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
It was a busy week in Europe. Pep Guardiola and Manchester City went out of the Champions League to Real Madrid. And then it was a quick turnaround, and this is key. It was a quick turnaround to that cup semi-final, of course, up against Chelsea, which Manchester City went on to win. Now, Pep Guardiola suggested that he may refuse extra requests from broadcasters after launching into something of a rant around scheduling following City's win over Chelsea. He teed off on the BBC and then he kind of kept it going in the after media conference which followed. Have a listen.
I don't understand how we survived today. I don't understand. People cannot imagine how punching our face, you know, to be out for the Champions League in the way we are out. Why don't give us one more day for the health of the players to arrive on Sunday? Because Coventry, Chelsea and Man United, they don't play in Champions League, they don't play Europa League, they don't play in the midweek. For broadcasters, okay, don't ask me after to do extra things because we're not going to do it. So it's unacceptable to play today. So we play in incredible difficult conditions and the game was tight. Chelsea had incredible chances in transitions. We had the control well because we make a lot of easy balls loose because for our tired, because some players make an incredible effort. What they had done today is one of the greatest things I've ever seen in a group of players.
So Guardiola is suggesting there, Simon, that it's a bit of a Mickey take on behalf of the authorities, maybe the broadcasters as well, that they're made to play in a time schedule that they were made to play in. Yep. Thereafter, the suggestion is, so I might refuse extra requests from the broadcasters because of this.
Well,
don't be disappointed if you come for an interview and you don't get it. It's because of this schedule you've put before us. What's your take on that?
Look, I mean, I'm not going to back the broadcasters on every front because I disagree with certain things on the entitlement of the media. But let's have it right. The reasons why you've got one of the most expensively assembled squads, the reasons why football people are paid the ridiculous salaries they are paid is because of the broadcast revenues. So you can't take all of the upside and none of the downside. You know, I watched his interview after the game with Gary Lineker, who I think was lost for words, which I always think is a bonus. But he, you know, came out and this ridiculous martyr syndrome. If they'd have beaten Madrid, you probably wouldn't have heard the same outlook from him. You're in the business of sport. Your achievements are taking you to the higher echelons of games, and your fixture schedules are as a result of it. You've got a squad commensurate with it. You've got players capable of dealing with it. Shut up now. To me, it's beyond the pale of acceptance for most reasonable. If you're a Man City fan, you'll be appalled at my observations here because everything that's said about Man City that vaguely veers into some sort of criticism is some mortal sin. But enough now.
But I mean, hang
enough
on.
Enough now.
Hang on a second.
How are you going to change the fixtures? They were drawn out of a hat. The FA Cup semi-finals. What are you going to do? Ask Manchester United and Coventry to move their game to the Saturday so you can have yours on the Sunday.
No, of course.
Is that how it works in?
Being in the media, of course, I think it would be wrong to refuse media requests. Of course I would. But does he have a case to a degree that we saw in a week over in Madrid when Haaland and De Bruyne say, need to come off. Need to come off. Low on gas. Need out of here.
So what? They've got a big enough squad.
Rodgers talked about being exhausted at this point in the season. Guardiola says, I don't know how Rodri's done what he's done.
Because it's been seeded into them. This constant bitching and whining about, and Graham can pick this up, because I'm pretty sure he has a view on how many games they play against the amount of games he played and the pitches they played on, the physicality they played under. It's been seeded in there. Now the players are biting down on it. It's an excuse culture in football a lot of the time. It's now being forced into their psyche, like the, like in this country, we have a mental well-being problem. We have a mental health crisis amongst the young. No, we don't. We have people suggesting that we do, so then people start to latch upon it. Now,
but this is the greatest manager of our generation saying players need to be protected more. They're running out of gas. What I'm saying is, where he's wrong in my view is saying I'm gonna say no to certain broadcast media interview requests. That's wrong. Why involve them? Because he's used the broadcast media over the weekend to make this very point.
Because
he not have a point though?
No, I don't think he does. I don't think he does. I think ultimately football has moved on to such a level. And I'm going to let Graham pick up the cudgel on this, because his teams played 60, 65 games a season on pitches that were nowhere near the pitches they've got now, with one substitute, without the medical conditions, with players like Norman Hunter or God knows whoever else were prepared to kick you up here and down Dell. Now tell me about the modern day footballer and their propensity to overcome adversity. It's nonsense. Nonsense.
I don't think City
is Ben talking nonsense here.
I don't think City will get any sympathy vote. I think, you know, they're consistently in the Champions League, which means they've got a great deal of money to spend on players. They've got an absolutely, they've got a fantastic squad and a big squad. Should be able to deal with it. I think a lot of it comes down to, I think, snowflake society. Mm-hmm. You know, we live. That's what we are right now. I don't care if what people call me a dinosaur. Absolutely. Anyway, we live in a society which is just full of excuses.
Agreed.
And I think it's crept into football. And I would say that, you know, I think the sports scientists, they call themselves scientists, but the sports scientists at football clubs are planting seeds all over the place. His numbers tell you this. His numbers tell you that. What, they've got a monitor for every part of your body except the most important part. You can't put a monitor on your head and your brain to tell you that. Some people get to the wall and say, that's me done. And then the guy next to you says, I'm just starting. I'm going over that wall or through that wall, but I'm getting to the other side. And that's what you get that mix of that blend in football as well. I can't see City getting any sympathy for their current predicament. That's the price on being successful. And as you alluded to, same when I played. We won the league one year with 15 players. I played 61 games that year. There were some of them played 67 games. And okay, the football wasn't so demanding. Really? Really?
So what, should Haaland shape up? Should De Bruyne shape up?
I wrote that in my
column. Should Rodri shape up?
I wrote that column. I wrote my column on Saturday morning referring to that. I've never heard, never witnessed, either as a player or as a manager, a player coming to me or a player going to the manager and saying, you know what, I need to come off, I'm tired. I just wonder if the translation has been lost with Pep somewhere. I can't believe that happened. I don't think a player would come over and say, I feel a bit of tightness in my hammy, or I feel my calf, you know, stiffening
but
up.
But Graeme, it's not just Guardiola
saying
this.
Not just coming off for...
Klopp has said it long enough.
Not just for being tired.
Klopp tends to moan about 12:30 schedules and suggest that the early schedules on a Saturday are constantly foisted upon Liverpool. I can't help but think that I'm very disappointed by arguably, debatably, the greatest manager in football constantly going down this route. I understand if you say something long enough, eventually people are going to subscribe to your point of view.
Your point, if they'd won against Real Madrid, this would not have been a conversation.
I guarantee you, I would have had more. If they had won against Madrid, and obviously if my aunt was my uncle, they would have done. But I would be interested to see if he'd have come out, and I'd have had more respect for him if he'd have come out and gone, even though we've won against Madrid, even though we've overcome Chelsea, these aren't right. He wouldn't have done.
See that game
hypocrites.
That game
hypocrites.
But you know, I admire him more for the fact he is doing it. No. Having beaten Chelsea.
No, he's empowered. They've got an entitled attitude. Action. You take all the advantage, another downside. And it is symptomatic of society. It is symptomatic of the way we look at life in an entitled way.
See, to be fair to City, they chased the game against Real Madrid. And where Madrid, it was a lesser, it was not so demanding from Madrid. Yeah. Maybe, you know, concentration levels were through the roof for Madrid. But they were sitting in, they weren't chasing the game, was Man City were. And I think you saw a knock-on effect in the game at the weekend against Chelsea. They weren't quite on it. And we talk about small margins all the time. But I come back to, that's the price on the ticket of being successful.
And you can say
that. You have to deal with it.
You call them snowflakes. If we're not going to listen to serial winners, who are going to listen to?
No, he can say it. He can turn around and say that the impact of playing a fixture like Real Madrid, and the fact that we had to play 120 minutes, and the fact
we can
have all that. Everyone can accept that. But it's the manner in which it's done, which is my sense of entitlement. Is this an outrage? What's happening to these? I don't know how they're going to survive it. Oh, get over yourself. Really? This isn't an episode of Platoon where you're watching Charlie or William Defoe getting shot running towards a helicopter, for Christ's sakes.
Graham, there's a message. The game is more intense now. Players are fitter and faster. And you can't play 100% for more and more time than you might have done in Souness's day.
Well, what I would... one of the questions I get asked, I think more than anything else, people say, oh, could you play today? I said, stop there. Can I turn it round? Could the guys today have played in our generation when tackling was allowed? When you weren't running on the pitch, you're running through the pitch. Because from sort of November onwards, it was sometimes the equivalent of a plough field you were playing on. The demands were the other thing I'd like to say when people say that is quicker. The game's quicker. All our training was geared on one and two touch. You can't move the ball any quicker than one and two touch. I have to disagree with you. You'd expect me to disagree
with
that.
The only area I think Pep's wrong, I think he's right to voice his opinion. Of course he is. It's his prerogative. But don't say it through the broadcast media.
Threatening to stop giving interviews to the broadcast media. It's a wee bit petty. That's the price on the ticket. It was the price on the ticket 25 years ago, 40 years ago. If you're successful, you go an extended run through the cups, you go deep in the cups. And every game, I said it earlier to a Man United supporter, when I was at Liverpool, we were told every Saturday afternoon we were going to play in a cup final. It ain't your cup, it's not our cup final, but it's for the team you're playing. That is the price on the ticket. Deal with it.
Is it as simple as that? Go on with it.
Well, what's the alternative? We're going to play more and more games. If you're successful, we have to deal with it. End of.
Is there not a solution to be had with the authorities, the broadcaster, and the clubs?
Let's make a year longer.
What's
the season longer?
I mean, ultimately,
he's the most successful manager of our generation.
And
surely he's got to
listen. And that's why he should
act
in that way at times. Because that's not a winning mentality. You've won your game and ultimately you've got challenges, but life is about adversity. None of your players are on the way to hospital. Pack it in. None of your players are surviving something. Pack it in. This is nonsense. You're using hyperbole. And I know that he's playing the media at their own game. By using hyperbole and by using narratives that elevate the conversation becomes elevated. But it lacks substance. And I look at leaders and go, undoubtedly, no doubt, this is the greatest manager that we've probably seen. But notwithstanding, that doesn't mean I have to admire every single facet what pours out of his trap. And that I don't admire.
Back it in is the message. Okay.
Download, stand well back, listen.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. Please leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast from. We'll be back tomorrow to bring you the best of the show.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.